Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Veterans Unite podcast. Today we've got an incredible show lined up for you because we have the one and only Jen Ford from Jen Ford Music. And we were talking a little bit before hitting the record button, and I can tell right now you guys are going to love her energy, despite the fact we're actually recording this on a Saturday morning. So yes. It's going to be an awesome show.
The large cup of coffee. Like, this is my head, and this is the kind of cup of coffee.
And that, my friends, is how you need to start every morning.
Exactly.
So, Jen, good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I'm tired, but it's fine. I'm doing great. Actually, we just saw my son play his first football game of the season last night, our two oldest. And so we got home late, and we had a whole lot of energy and a whole lot of testosterone in the house last night. And I really don't think I fell asleep very good. So I just decided to go ahead and get up and do this.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate the hell out of you being here with me this morning. Last night I found out from my wife at 11:30. Oh, by the way, my brother and the family are coming over at 9 today for breakfast. So I'm like, huh, thanks for letting me know that now. So I'm actually super thankful that you decided to wake up early and get on the line with me.
Well, good. Thank you for having me.
Not a problem. Now, I found you because one day I decided to get on Instagram and type in hashtag veteran music. And you were one of the musicians that popped up. And so I started listening to your music. I'm like, damn, I love this chick's music. This is some good stuff. And then I started going through your bio and I see that, you know, you get your influences from everything from Patsy Cline to Clearance Credence. Credence Clearwater Revival. I can never say that one right. I don't know why. And ZZ Top. So, I mean, I'm like, damn, that's a beautiful range of people to get your influences from. So my first question for you is going to be, how do you classify your music?
Well, I think we're probably just all American. Like, we do, all the good kinds. So
gotcha. We got country and Western.
No. I feel like probably Southern rock and blues flavored country. And oh. I mean, country right now is kind of going in that direction anyway. I feel like I've earned my right to say I'm country because I live in rural East Texas and I grew up here and there's literally cows in my pasture and like right next door. And our town has like, I don't know, 12,000 people in it, and we love football and Jesus and whiskey. So I feel like I'm pretty country.
There you go. Now, before we get too deep into your music, the one thing I do like to ask people is, you are an Army veteran. So yes. If you don't mind me asking, what did you do in the Army?
Well, I went in 98 and enlisted as a military police officer. I had just gotten out of 2 years of school at college, majoring in music, and I wanted to go see the world, and I wanted to prove, you know, do what all young adults want to do, and that's prove my parents wrong and be a badass. So I chose military police, and then I decided, oh, wow, that might not have been the one thing I wanted to do more than anything else. Okay. But I did that for about 2 years. And then actually, I kept singing and people figured out that I could sing. And so they encouraged me to join the Army Soldier Show back when that was still around. And in 2001, I was in the Army Soldier Show and then got passed around to different units in the band field. Mm-hmm. Got to spend some time in Germany with the USER band and then ended up finishing out my career at Fort Carson and Fort Sam as military police. So okay. It was a lot of fun. Best time of my life was doing, and aside from now, but I really had a great time performing in the Army bands.
Right on. So what was the largest crowd you got to play to while in the doing that with the Army?
Like 40,000 people at the NFL World Bowl in Frankfurt. 2007 7, I think.
Holy shit. So, I mean, was that just like a, you stepped out on stage, you're like, oh my God, this is where I want to be.
Oh, I've wanted to be on stage basically since I could walk. I'm pretty sure that I've always wanted to be on stage. But we did the halftime show with the Army band there. So that was the most overwhelming sense of like, holy moly, we're really, like, really doing this. That's like a big deal when you get in front of that many people. But at the same time, I don't get nervous. Mm-hmm. And once there's that many people, it's like, well, I don't know any of these people, so it doesn't matter anyway.
Right on.
But we had a great time.
That's cool. So you get out of the Army, and was the first thing you jumped into was, hey, I'm just going to start playing music.
No, that's not at all what I did. Honestly, I love my mom and dad a whole lot, but I think part of the reason why I didn't pursue music sooner is because they had ideas about what was a real career, and they kept pushing me to nursing school. And I actually went to nursing school for about 3 years when I first got out, and decided it wasn't for me. And it was really kind of hard because when I got out, I was leaving an 11-year career and starting over, and then realizing that I wasn't ever going to be happy if I wasn't happy with myself. Mm-hmm. So I just started doing music again and found some other careers that could support my passion to perform and write music. So I've done a lot of stuff since then.
Wow. And so at what point did the whole starting to have a family come into it?
Actually, I had my oldest son in the Army band in 2003 at Fort Bliss. And I had my youngest son in Germany while I was in the Army band too. So they've been around music forever. I've always been singing around the house. So even if I wasn't actively performing, they've been around it a whole lot.
Awesome. Yeah, I've got, I'm working on building this up. Building up the podcast and the whole network that I'm attempting to build for this, because in January we had our first child. My wife and I have been married for now 18 years.
Oh,
January,
wow.
We finally had our first kid. You know, the good Lord finally said, you know what? Now that y'all are in your 40s, you deserve a child. Boom, here you go. And so
I'm laughing at you because there is a light at the end of the tunnel. Mm-hmm. And I don't have to get up in the middle of the night anymore. And I don't have to change diapers anymore. And I can give somebody $20 and say, figure it out for dinner. But you're not there right now. No, you won't be for a long time.
I know. And believe me, that was one of the things we thought about when we found out that she was pregnant. It's like, holy crap, we're going to be like, I'm going to be in my 60s by the time she finishes high school.
You'll be
Holy
fine.
Holy shit.
You'll be fine. So, it's just be glad you had all your fun before, because
that's true.
You're not going to be able to do as much as now.
Right. So I'm trying to get all this stuff built up and set in place so that by the time she is like 5-6 years old, and I mean, right now she wants all the daddy time she can get to begin with, but I know once she gets a little bit older, you know, there's another podcast I listen to called The Military Veteran Dad. And he says that children spell love, T-I-M-E. And, you know, time is the one thing that, you know, you can't get more of it. So you have to make the most of what you've got. And I know when she starts getting older, that's the one thing she's really going to want is, you know, her daddy time.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to get this going in a way that it can help to facilitate that. And yeah.
Well, and I can definitely speak from experience that once you do have children, then if you're a good parent, you're going to make decisions based on what's best for them. Mm-hmm. And actually me doing music was what was best for my children, because I'm in a lot better headspace when I'm doing music, and as busy as we are, the house functions better when I'm doing music. And I enjoy watching them support me, and I support them equally. But I think my biggest thing is, even though I'm a little bit older and pursuing music with a brand new record and a brand new band, and I haven't stopped, I try to use it as like a testimony to my kids. Like, don't ever give up on what you want to do. You work hard, you can have success. And success doesn't necessarily mean lots of money and a huge house. Success means being happy with who you are and putting out the best possible product or effort towards whatever it is you love to do. And I think that between me and their dad and their stepmom and their stepdad, these kids have a good sense of self and they know what they want to do. And so you doing that is awesome, because you'll be able to spend time with her and move things around if you have a successful thing with this podcast. And it's going to be great if you keep attitude, I think.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate the hell out of you saying all that. Because, and you're going back to like your parents wanting you to go to nursing school and all that. At some point,
I don't want to be a nurse.
I know.
I never, ever wanted to. My mother was a math teacher. And when I dropped out of nursing school, she went into nursing school. So then I realized that my crazy mom wanted to be a nurse. And my sister became a nurse. But holy this crap. Lady is not a nurse.
Yeah.
No, thank you. I love you. No, thank you.
Yep.
I can't do it.
Yeah. No, at some point in this country, it went from people doing, you know, pursuing a passion, doing what they love and being successful at it to, oh no, you got to work for the man for 20 plus years, whether you like it or not, just so you can retire and hopefully have a little bit of fun in your later years.
Yeah.
And there is another way out there. You know, you just got to find it. But
yeah. And I work, I mean, I have a full-time job, but, and I've always worked, but I'm going to work at a job that allows me to do what I want to do. And that's spend time with my family and make music.
Exactly.
So
awesome. So speaking of music, where did the name, you officially go by Jen Ford, right?
Yep.
But then you've got the Jen Ford and the Wide-Eyed Devils. Where'd that come from?
Well, two things. I wrote a song called Wide Eye Devil for the first album. Hey, there's one of my children. I'm doing a radio interview. Good morning. Are you going to football? There. Did you see that giant person?
I just saw like a tree trunk walk by in the background.
Yes. Yes. He's on the defense line with our other son. So he put a serious whooping on the football team last night.
Nice.
But the Wide Eye Devils actually was a song. The Wide Eye Devil was a song that I wrote about 6 years ago. And it's kind of like a bittersweet love song, but it has I write things that have so many different meanings or can apply to different things, but it was kind of like a burning ember of something that I knew wasn't necessarily good for me. So I broke that relationship off, and it was right before I met my husband. But I used the name of that song for my band because I felt like that they are such a good band that I want to give them credit for all the hard work they do. And they're a bunch of crazy guys that are just insanely talented. A couple of them are in their 60s, but they've been playing music their whole life. And then I've got my lead guitar player, who I love dearly and played at my wedding. And he used to be a second grade teacher. He works at a news station. He's worked for a news journal, but he's crazy on the guitar. And then I've got David Sweat, who's my drummer, and he's a veteran as well, but he's just super goofy. And I felt like they needed a name to show, you know, that I can't do this by myself. I've been making music forever, and I've been Jen Ford, going by my maiden name and, you know, the Jen Ford name for the last 5 or 6 years. But I really don't feel like that we blossomed until I had this group of guys as a band backing me. And so I just took that name, and we thought a whole bunch of different names. Like I was playing around with that for 6 months. And then finally I was just like, why don't I just call them the Wide-Eyed Devils? Because I've already got a song called Wide-Eyed Devil. And that song is like super sad, but this song, the name for them is kind of like, gives us an edge. And I talk about playing devil music all the time. And really, I'm just talking about playing good music with them. So go. They love it. It's worked out.
Awesome. So how many albums do you have out right now?
I've got one album, a couple singles. We just released a single in June from a song that I wrote in March when everything started shutting down. Mm-hmm. Have a good day. We're going to watch film. You taking him up there? Okay, sorry. And then we have another album coming out hopefully in October. We've been working on it since July. Actually, like in the studio since mid-July, whenever we can get in there. But that's supposed to be coming out real soon. We're looking for probably mid-October, first, second week in October.
Okay, cool. So out of all the songs that you sing, do you have one particular favorite?
Do you mean cover or original song?
Let's go both routes.
Oh man, I have so many favorites, but I think I really enjoy singing Susan Tedeschi's It Hurts So Bad. Mm-hmm. I really have followed her for a long time, probably for about 10 years or more. And that was the first song that I fell in love with. And a lot of people, when I sing it, say that I do that song really well and that I've done it justice, because she's such an amazing performer and blues singer that for anybody to compliment me on that, I take it as a huge compliment because she's fantastic. So that's my favorite cover probably today. There's some other ones, but I think I'm really excited about what's coming out, and we are already performing some of our album live just to kind of get a feel for how it's going to be when we get on a bigger stage. And my song Under These Stars live with the full band is just really good. It's going to be like a Joe Cocker anthem, kind of like what they did at Woodstock with Have a Little Help with My Friends. It has that kind of anthem to it. I want people to sing along with me at the end, so I'm really excited about that one.
Right on. Now, I was looking on your website and jenfordmusic.com, and I was looking at your I'm gonna pull it up so I can get the word right. Your show dates, and yeah, you've got what do you have coming up?
Right now, I've got a show tonight, which I'm probably going to go back to bed here in a little while after lunch and take a couple hour nap. But that's in Lyndale, Texas. That's where Miranda Lambert's from. And they've got this awesome brisket place there. And what's interesting is a lot of our venues have shut down because of COVID, obviously. Mm-hmm. But there are so many really good restaurants in Texas, and Texas music in general. They like to make it kind of family oriented. And so there's so many restaurants that have stages that, and I was smart enough to book at a lot of restaurants that I've actually had quite a few gigs, not as many as I normally have, but I have at least five or six a month. And so this is a big stage out in Lyndale. It's called Brisket Love, and they have the Hackberry Hall stage, and you could probably fit 200 or 300 people indoor and then have another 200 or 300 outdoor and still socially distance, and the sound system's amazing. So that's one show. Next weekend, Labor Day weekend, I'm flying to Knoxville, Tennessee, because I was nominated for Southern Rock Vocalist of the Year. I'm a finalist for the Josie Music Awards. I know. Right on. I'm like, how did that happen? I didn't even know it was Southern Rock, but the more I've played and the more people have heard me, I'm starting to hear feedback on where I should be categorizing myself. And so hopefully I'll win and come home with an award next week. That's where I'll be next weekend. And then we've got a couple things in September. We're supposed to be going to Vegas in December because we won the Texas Country Music Showdown last year in Fort Worth at the Texas Country Music Awards. And we beat like 10 bands.
Oh, shit.
And yeah, and I was like, look, I don't know what they're going to think about us, but we're just going to get up there and do what we do. And we won. So I guess that was pretty awesome to win in Fort Worth when that's like country music central. So for Texas anyway. So we're going to go there in December. I've co-hosted the Texas Country Music Awards for 3 years. I've kind of backed away from that this year because I'm teaching at the school and I've got three boys playing football and I'm trying to pursue my personal career more. And I want to separate from being front and stage as like a face of helping with the awards, but I'm still going to be working the red carpet at the Texas Country Music Awards at Billy Bob's in Fort Worth in November, I think. I think that's when we're doing it. And Brandon Ryder is hosting and he and I are from the same town and we've become pretty good friends in the last 2 or 3 years since we've been doing it together. But I've taken a step back from that. Other than that, we're just kind of waiting until COVID kind of scoots on out of here and we can hit the ground running. I'm looking for a van. I bought a new sound system. I got a trailer in mind for the band because we have so much equipment now and I own all of it. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Nice. Now, speaking of the band, how many band members do you have?
It depends. Usually it's me and my four guys, but we have friends that come and play with us from time to time. And sometimes we do acoustic shows where it's just me and my bass player and my guitar player. But when you'll most likely see five of us on stage if you come to a show around here, most of the time, could be six or seven.
Holy crap.
That's yeah, awesome. I want to have a background vocalist, like a girl in the back singing eventually.
Right on. So if someone wanted to follow your music, where would be the best place for them to do that?
Well, Facebook is just Jen Ford and Instagram is Jen Ford Music. I think Twitter is Jen Ford Music. I'm trying my hand at TikTok and it's Jen Ford Texas. And then I have a Snapchat that's Jen Ford Music. So pretty much if you look up Jen Ford, see a lady with blonde hair, it's probably me.
Right on. Of all the music that you do play, I know I asked you which ones do you enjoy playing the most, but is there a particular song that just has the most meaning? Like whenever you feel, whenever you sing it, you're either super pumped at the end or it just really gets you right there in the heart.
Well, so the first song I ever wrote is called Pity, and I've never released it with this band. I had a heavy metal band before this band.
Oh, wow.
And Pity is a song that I wrote about 8 years ago when I first started getting back into music. And we haven't talked about it in this interview, but I had to deal with some PTSD when I got out of the service. And it's neither here, it doesn't matter why, but music sort of was a healer for me. And I didn't have to worry about medication anymore because you know how the VA is, they'll throw pills at you to try to make you feel better. Well, we went down that road for a little while and I'm telling you, that was not for me. I don't take any medication. I take a Benadryl. That's pretty much it to help me sleep sometimes. But I've got PTSD and sometimes it rears its ugly head, but I'll tell you what, music keeps me straight and it keeps me calm and they even say that music therapy in general is just good for people that have emotional or psychological or physical trauma. So Pity, the song, is actually about my journey with PTSD and reliving the events that caused it. And it's actually dedicated to veterans because I think in general in our journey, because so many of us have to deal with that in our journey and reconnecting with our family and friends, it's kind of like, we need some time to process it and we have to go through the different stages of processing it. And it's beautiful and it's ugly and it's hard and it's sad, But that song has blossomed from the time I wrote it in years ago into a song of empowerment, because the chorus is like, I don't need your pity. I don't want you to feel sorry for me, basically. Like, mm-hmm. I just need you to be here for me and understand that this is what happens and this is what happened and this is why I am the way that I am, and just love me and take me as I am, and let's celebrate the positive things that have come out of, you know, my service in the military, and so many positive things have come out of it. You got to take the good with bad, and you need good people around you to help you overcome stuff like that. And reconnecting with the community is a big part of that. And my way of reconnecting with the world and the community was through music. So that's my anthem, and my guys love to play it, and we're going to release it the way it should have been released years ago. And that's going to be one of my favorite songs coming out on the album.
Awesome. So that'll be out on the new album in October.
Yes.
Awesome. I cannot wait to hear. I'm looking forward to hearing that one. And just because you touched base on that, at what point do you go from a heavy metal band to what you're doing now?
You know what? that was an experiment. That was a long experiment, but I think I've always been kind of like a blues and country and rock and roll fan, Southern rock fan. And I was teaching voice lessons. And this heavy metal band had some friends that we had mutual friends, and they asked me to come in and coach their lead singer. And I went in there and I was coaching for like 2 or 3 weeks, and he finally just quit. And I don't know what I did, but
oh shit.
They were like, look, we like what you're doing better than what he's doing. And so that was probably my first like real dive into songwriting was with them. Because heavy metal is like, a lot of it's very organic. It's, you don't necessarily have classically trained musicians that are making music. It's a lot of it's angry and a lot of it's controversial, and it sort of was cathartic for me to get out there and start writing these obscure lyrics of things I've never explored before. And so I started listening to Tool and Deftones and Alice in Chains and just like all these different artists, like anything metal, anything rock, heavy rock, not Nickelback. I did not listen to Nickelback at all. I'm talking about like real stuff, like, Cannibal Corpse. I was listening to that and stuff, all kinds of stuff. And I dyed my hair black. I had a mohawk. Yeah. I got a tattoo.
God, I would love to see a picture of that. You with I'll black hair and a one. Mohawk.
Well, I don't know if I have. Well, I might have one. And the photography was terrible.
Right.
The funnest part of being in a metal band, though, was like, we thought that we were so badass, and we were not. I mean, the energy we put out, the crowd that came to see us made us feel like we were, you know, totally the most badass people in East Texas. But that's what I love about the metal scene in general, is you have a lot of committed fans that just love to come out there and scream and cheer for you. And, with the music I'm doing now, you have committed fans as well, but it's a totally different vibe.
Right.
You got to calm it down a little bit. You hear me scream like, ah! It was a lot of fun, though. A lot of fun. I love the band name was called Bleed the Rain.
Bleed the Rain. Oh my God. So now, is any of that music out there anywhere?
It's probably somewhere. It's terrible. it's not my best work. We're proud of it. It was my first time recording, and you know, we didn't have a big budget. If we could have spent more time in the studio, it probably would have been really good. But we were really proud of it. I'm still proud of it. Some of the lyrics are awesome, but
right,
I like what I'm doing now. I have a little bit more lifespan with this kind of music because I'm not screaming every night. So
right. Wow, that I did not anticipate that direction. But I'm glad you shared that with us, because
you're welcome.
That is awesome. And
I know a lot of country artists that were metal at one point. Everybody,
right.
Everybody goes to the dark side, at least for a little while.
Now, have you ever read or heard the audio book of Charlie Daniels' memoir, Never Look at the Empty Seats?
No, but I met Charlie Daniels at an AUSA convention briefly, for like 2005 or 2006, because the USURA Army Band and Choir went over there.
Mm-hmm.
And he played at one of the hotel where all the sergeant majors were, and everybody was hanging out, getting drunk, and one of the sergeant majors was like, "Hey, this is Staff Sergeant so-and-so. This is Charlie Daniels." And I was like, "Hey!" But that's, no, I have not read the autobiography or the book or the audio book, but I did meet him one time.
Well, it's amazing. I heard the audible just because I found out that he does it in his own voice. So, I mean, I could listen to that book over and over again. He's just got one of those voices that you can really get into. But it's amazing hearing how his journey from his very early days in music and the type of music he played all the way up to where he you know, ended up at. I mean, everybody has a journey. Everybody has to start somewhere. And it's amazing how, you know, in your case, you went heavy metal to where you're at now, you know?
Oh, I've sung it all. I majored in music. I used to sing opera music in college. So
really,
you name it, I've done it. And I think I've got to sing what I'm singing now because I smoked too many cigarettes in the Army. I don't smoke anymore, but I've got this raspy voice. I don't think I can pull off the opera anymore.
All right. Well, as we start getting ready to wrap this up, there's one question that I always ask every one of my guests, and it's this: is there a question I haven't asked you but should have?
I don't know.
You
haven't asked me where I work.
There you go. So what do you do when you're not singing?
I teach special ed at the middle school.
Oh, shit. So let me see. You sing. You have three boys in the house that you shuttle back and forth for football and everything else. And you're teaching special ed at the middle school.
Yes. I'm already in my certification right now. I have my bachelor's degree in multimedia mass communication. So I was thinking that I was going to get into maybe radio or something, because I had no idea I was going to get a record contract 3 years ago. I was just like, well, I'm just going to try to pitter patter around the music industry and see what happens. Mm-hmm. And anyway, so I'm using that degree to my bachelor's degree with the state of Texas to try to get my teaching certification. And I've been subbing for years. I've been teaching up there for a year and a half, and they keep giving me classes, and they finally hired me. So
right on. Now, here's something we didn't get into, is how hard was it to get that record deal?
You know what? I mean, it took me 39 years. But I was 39 when it happened. Well, it was crazy how it happened, because I had no idea. I had no idea that I was ever going to work in the country music industry. I grew up listening to George Strait and just everything. And I wasn't allowed to do the music I wanted to do because my mom's like super ultra Southern Baptist. But when I got older, I could do what I wanted. And I got an internship while I was finishing up my degree, because I used my voc rehab to go back to school.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to do an internship with like a media company. And so I was like looking at the news agencies, and I had been working for a radio station. And oddly enough, like the radio station went kaput, and it had been there for 50 years. And it just,
oh, wow.
I've been there for 2 weeks and I destroyed the radio station, I guess. I don't know what happened. but I was trying to get into media, and you know, I was too old really to get into like broadcasting, but I knew how to do broadcasting. on TV. Like, that's something you learn while you're in school. So I understood that process. And anyway, long story short, somebody contacted me from Texas Country Music Association, and they were getting ready. They've been around for like 20 years, but they were getting ready to do their first real music award show. Mm-hmm. And they were like, hey, we know that you've been doing stuff with these different organizations, and you have connections in the media. Would you be interested in helping us get the show together? And I was like, absolutely. I need an internship. I need to get credit. I've got to work for 3 months for an organization to do it. So it worked out, and it was like very serendipitous how that happened, because I wasn't looking for it. And I said, the only stipulation I have is I want to co-host the awards, because this is what I'm going to school for. And I know what I'm doing. I know how to put together a show, and I can bring in, you know, some good people with the production team that I know will be reliable and help you pull it off. And so she said, yeah, no problem. This is Linda Wilson, the president of Texas Country Music Association. She said, no problem. And then about 2 weeks before, we were going over the script and like the rundown of the show. And she's like, okay, Jen, and this is the point where you're going to get up and sing one of your original songs. We thought we'd give you one of your original country songs. And I was like, okay. And I'm like, what? I can totally do this. I just got to write a song. Oh, shit. So I went and I wrote a song, and I was like, look, all these people have been working in the Texas country music scene for decades, and the up and comers have no idea who I am. And I want whatever I do to be legitimate. And so they can, if they're going to put me in front of people, I want them to know that I'm a legitimate artist. And I wanted basically to make her look professional as well, because I was working for her. So I was like, I'll be darned if it's not going to be good. And so I got up there and I sang, and she told me that there was going to be some record executives from Nashville there that were like scouting for new artists. And I was like, okay, they're not looking for me. You know, I'm not paying attention. And as soon as I walked off stage, this guy grabbed me and he was like, oh my God, I'm BJ Mezick. I want you to write for me. And I was like, sure, whatever. Guy with really nice boots on. And I just walked off. And then within 2-3 weeks, Linda had orchestrated this whole thing for me to do a single. And I wrote another song, and she said, how many songs can you write? And I was like, I could probably write 4 or 5 of them. How many do you want? And she's like, send me what you got. And so within the next month, I sent her a whole bunch of music, and she told me that they were going to do it. And he financed it for me, and I got signed to Texas Country Music Records. And now I'm under his label. She released me to his label about a year ago out of Nashville. And that's how it happened. Like, people say that it happens like that, and sometimes it happens like that. And I had no clue at all that it was going to happen. And my idea when I got presented, like when they came to me and said, we want you to do this, I was like, what the heck else am I going to do? I've never been presented this opportunity. I don't have anything to lose. I'm married. I've got, you know, a degree mm-hmm. on the way. I've got my barber. I'm also a barber. Yes, I went to barber school. Can also do that. I've got a whole bunch of hustles. But,
holy crap.
But I was just thinking, like, you know, I have nothing to lose. This is what I've always wanted. Why would I not just,
yeah,
who cares? Let's do it. Let's see what happens. And that's how it happened.
Holy crap. All right. So what label is that, if you don't mind me asking?
B&G Records.
Oh, there you go. Mm-hmm. That is awesome. Well, Jen, I appreciate your time this morning. I do want to close out the show with one of your songs. And so today we are going to play. I don't think that was a song.
No, that Backseat is, Betty.
For some reason, I pulled up Backseat Betty and it gave me Baby Get Your Boots On. So let me back
that's another
out of
one.
That for a second, because I want to hear the Backseat Betty. Give me half a second here. These things tend to happen. All right. So Backseat Betty, click on that one. Now I click on that.
Thank
again.
You for having me, Shad.
Oh, not a problem. It's literally been a blast having you on. I don't know why it keeps wanting to do that. So we're going to do it from this way. Backseat Betty right there. All right, so I've got to share my screen real quick, so bear with me as we fumble through that. Share audio, share my entire screen. Bam, bam. And all right, well, if everything goes as planned, folks, we're about to hear No Backseat Betty by Jen Ford.
Woo!
As soon as it loads. Gotta love technology, I tell you.
Lindsay was a girl, she was 33. She had a job, two kids, working on a degree. She spent 11 years with Uncle Sam. She didn't want a thing from any old man. She was tall, she was blonde, she had blue eyes. They came from all around just to catch her smile. But Lindsay wouldn't give them the time of day. And if they kept coming, this is what she'd say. Well, I ain't gonna be no backseat Betty. If there's something you want, you better be ready for loving me all of the time. No, I ain't gonna be no backseat Betty. If there's something you want, you better be ready for loving me all of the time. Well, it didn't take her long to figure them out. She was out of their league and she wouldn't allow any man to distract her from her climb. No nonsense, no games, she handled everything fine. Well, I ain't gonna be no backseat Betty. If there's something you want, you better be ready for loving me all of the time. No, I ain't gonna be no backseat Betty. If there's something you want, you better be ready for loving me all of the time. She tell him I ain't looking to be saved. I don't need a man and I won't be played. Well, I ain't gonna be no backseat Betty. No, I ain't gonna be no backseat Betty. If there's something you want, you better be ready for loving me one of the time, one of the time, one of the time, one of the time.
Bam. There you have it, folks. No Backseat Betty by Jen Ford. That is an awesome song, by the way.
Thanks.
I love that song. That's an awesome song. I love the energy that comes off of it. And once again, whoa. I don't know if you're hearing that. Hold on.
No, I'm not.
Okay. In my headset, I started playing another song. I'm like, where'd that come from? So anyways, folks, there you have it. Jen Ford with Jen Ford Music. Check her out. Go to her website, jenfordmusic.com. It's been scrolling. If you're watching the video for this, It's been scrolling along the bottom. What I'm going to do is this will get released on Tuesday for the video. And yeah, I'm loving it. Thank you so much for coming
on. Thank you. Thank you.
It's been a pleasure. Seriously. Like I said, I love the energy that you've got. I mean, got it. You know, now we're what, 9 o'clock. Oh shit. Almost 9:30 in the morning.
And
man, this has been a great way to wake up for my Saturday. So I appreciate it. Not a problem. And if there's ever anything that we can do for you, just reach out and let us know.
Appreciate you.
I will definitely get this shared out. And folks, check out the show notes because all her links will be there. If you're watching the video, there's a reason that little ticker is going on the bottom. Check out jenfordmusic.com. Follow everything she's got going on. Find her on Instagram, Facebook, and wherever else. The song that we just heard that's streaming on Amazon Music, go check that out. Find her. I'm sure it's in all the other places as well.
It's everywhere. So,
Thanks for stopping by, everybody. Thanks for listening. Don't forget, share this out to all your family, friends, everyone that could use it. As you heard Jen say in the show, music helped her at a time when she really needed it. It got her off the pills. There are other ways. You don't got to just keep taking fistful of pills that the VA keeps pushing on you.
No.
But Jen, thanks for the message. Thanks for your time. And folks, we will see you next time.